The words, which are a part of the Statue of Liberty, served for decades as an invitation for the tired, poor, and huddled masses to step into the freedom, liberty, and opportunities that America offers. The inconvenient truth from those times is that all who applied were not accepted. Immigration today is allowed to operate in a very different way. Illegal immigrants are seen as ways to win favor with a voting demographic by offering handouts and excuses rather than worthy people seeking a better life by contributing to America. As we've recently seen in places like San Francisco, there are those who are here committing violent crimes as well. My guest with her new best-selling book brings the facts of the immigration issue to you, its impact on America, and names the people who empower it. Her book is Adios America, The Left's Plan to Turn Our Country into a Third World Hellhole. Along with a long string of bestsellers, 10 so far, this is number 11. She's a syndicated columnist. Good morning, Ann Coulter.
Good morning. Great to talk to you.
Always good to have someone who is not afraid to speak the truth. I am starting to get afraid that maybe Donald Trump was the last one of those that we had, but you're still with us, so that's good.
Yes. Yes, I. It's really interesting how Trump is the first person running for president in my lifetime to take an aggressive stand on immigration, and he's surging in the polls, and he's not going to be our nominee. I mean, I feel fairly confident of that. In fact, I'm generally opposed to anyone who is not a governor, current governor, or former governor, even running in our primaries. But boy, I'll make an exception for Donald Trump.
Well, let us go to Adios America, because when you have a problem to solve, it's best to learn where it began to give you a proper path. So is it safe to say, if we go back to 1965 and action of legislation by Ted Kennedy, that sort of gives us a clue of where we started this whole thing?
Oh, yes. That's why the subtitle is The Left Plan, though, as you'll see if you read my book, there are a lot of co-conspirators since then. But it was the 1965 Immigration Act. Until the Obama administration, I would say that period was the most destructive in American history. Never run a libertarian for president. Republicans, Goldwater lost in a landslide, huge majorities in the Congress for Democrats, and LBJ was president. That's when we got all the Great Society programs, really going into overdrive, turning this country into a welfare state. But also, that's when we got the Immigration Act. And those two facts together just created a disastrous combo platter. The 1965 Immigration Act altered what had been immigration policies for you know, a few centuries, which was more of a laissez-faire approach, but more recently had been taking country quotas from the countries that had traditionally populated America. So first you have the settlers, then you have people, you know, anybody could come, but you'd die. You'd starve if you weren't working or moving out and settling. And also, America really benefited from England's primogeniture law, where the firstborn gets everything. Well, you had a lot of talented, the firstborn male. So you had a lot of talented women and second, third, and fourth born who would get nothing, no estate, no title, no money. They'd come to America and stake their fortunes. After that, we would just seek to replicate the countries that mostly northern, western, white European countries. And, of course, from the beginning, we had blacks from mostly West Africa, a very small portion. So from the beginning, I mean, brought involuntarily, it's true, and that's a crucial part of my book. So from the beginning, from, you know, 1600 until 1970, the entire country was about 80 to 90% white, from a very small portion of the globe, and 10 to 20% black, again, from a very small portion of the globe. It was never a diverse, multicultural land of immigrants. It was populated by people from areas of the world that are about the size of, even up to 1970, about the size of Texas and Florida combined on the entire globe. So the immigration patterns replicated that. In 1970, the rules were changed in order to favor people from third world countries and discriminate against white Western Europeans and Canadians. It became virtually impossible to get in if you, say, already spoke English or had a skill, but if you had a lot of expensive problems, well, you go to the head of the line. We'll get the papers right to you. family reunification was the worst part of this. The first villager would get in, and then we'd be taking entire tribes of people from Pakistan. This is how people like Al Franken got elected. In addition, the senator from Minnesota, who was the 51st vote for Obamacare, wouldn't have had to worry about the Supreme Court, but for recent immigration, in addition to cheating to win that election, which we now know is true, Al Franken won the vote of 50,000 Somalis. Since 1970, this country has taken in more immigrants from Nigeria than it has from England. This is great for the Democratic Party because post-1970 immigrants are voting 8-2 for the Democrats. I mean, God bless that 20%, but but that's Republicans have got to learn to do math. Unless they're voting for you by 51%, you're losing. And that's exactly what happened. Despite incidentally, the 1965 Immigration Act sponsors, Teddy Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, all the Democrats, Emanuel Seller in the House, I have them quoted in the book, all swearing up and down that, oh, this act isn't going to change the demographic mix of America. We'll pretty much still be getting the same ones. Emanuel Seller, representative from New York, even said that we were moving to more of a merit-based system on immigration. Well, pre-1970, immigrants were better than us, as I think any sane immigration policy would require. Immigration is like any other government policy. It ought to be used to serve the interests of the people already living here. We ought to only be bringing in immigrants, not who take the same amount of welfare, not who commit the same amount of crime, but who commit no crime and need no welfare. And that's basically what we got before 1970. Immigrants were, before 1970, more educated, would make more income, bought more houses. Post-1970, we know that both legal and illegal immigrants access government services at far above the native rate. But also, it appears, and as I say, this is what caused me to write this book, the fact that the government simply will not tell us, give us precise numbers, but there's a lot of ancillary evidence. It appears that we're going through an immigrant crime wave, and worse than the additional number of criminals who are being brought in, it's the sorts of crimes they commit. These are primitive peasant cultures. Child rape, gang rape, incest rape, shockingly common, certainly compared to the native population. These are crimes that were virtually unheard of, and it's a pretty big story when one would come along. Oh, no, not anymore. Not to say anything of the honor killings. Another big issue for America, which you will see the headlines, you may not notice the cause of this in your local paper, Medicare fraud, Medicaid fraud, credit card stealing, the crash and crash for cash insurance scams, the identity theft, these complicated financial crimes. These aren't Native American habits. Our criminals, we think of criminals as dumb people. They, you know, kill their spouses for the $30,000 life insurance policy, dripping their DNA all over the crime scene. It's you know, robberies, burglaries. It's not a $20 million Medicare fraud, which is stealing from all Americans money that is supposed to be there for us, and we're utterly, utterly vulnerable to this. America is Disneyland for foreign criminals because they engage in so many different kinds of crimes.
Well, here's the part we're talking with Ann Coulter, her new book, Adios America, The Left's Plan to Turn Our Country into a Third World Hellhole. AnnCoulter.com, the web here on issues and ideas. Even with everything you just said, we have the Republican Party and one of your idols as well, or soon-to-be former Governor Chris Christie, which I know you're going through Chris Christie rehab, and I'm here to help you with this. But they keep insisting that if we play to the Hispanics, in other words, allow amnesty or all these programs, open the doors wide, the party will win over and get that vote from the 80-20 to a 50-50 or whatever the case may be. And you can go back to any time, even going back to when Reagan tried to do an outreach to the Hispanic vote, from every presidential election up to today, it ain't happening.
Yes, the problem with that is that it has never happened and it never will happen. But to pause on Chris Christie for a moment, this idea that, you know, other people saw that he had this genetic flaw in him. No, I support politicians for various reasons. The moment they come out for amnesty, I turn against them. I turned against Rubio. Did the rest of you? Doesn't seem like it. The reason I turned against Christie was when he had his temporary Senate appointee vote for, oh, who wrote that bill? Marco Rubio's amnesty bill.
Yeah.
So don't act like Christie had some genetic flaw that you saw coming all along. Until he did that and then doubled down with in-state tuition and until Marco Rubio, an erstwhile Tea Party candidate who used to denounce McCain's amnesty bill, came to Washington and did nothing but spend the next 3 years pushing for an amnesty bill, an amnesty bill, incidentally, that was worse than the McCain-Kennedy amnesty bill. So when McCain traded Teddy Kennedy for Marco Rubio, we got a worse immigration bill. And yet, I still hear an awful lot of conservatives who seem to think it's odd that I would have supported Christie and then turned against him, still supporting Marco Rubio. No Republicans. I'm instead of just, you know, demanding that Republicans be good on the single most important issue facing the country, immigration, because who gets to vote here decides every other issue. My new thought is I just want a Republican who can do math. And if immigrants or any other group isn't voting for you by 51%, you're losing. I can't understand why Republicans cannot grasp that, other than Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, as you'll see in the last chapter of my book, though it's much better that you have read through the book and be boiling by rage by then, was fantastic on immigration. He was Jan Brewer before Jan Brewer was Jan Brewer. He vetoed an in-state tuition bill for illegal aliens. He vetoed a bill that would give health care to illegal aliens. He struck a special agreement with the federal government. He vetoed driver's licenses for illegal aliens, and he struck a special deal with the federal government to allow Massachusetts state troopers to arrest illegal aliens. He never backed away when he was running from his argument that, what are you going to do, round them all up? He would say, no, we're going to enforce e-verify. The jobs will dry up as employers are forced to ensure that their employers are Americans or legal residents. And then, no, you don't have to round anyone up. We didn't round any of them up to get them here. We're not going to have to round them up to get them home. They will go home the same way they came, which he used in a not at all offensive term, a little bit of a Washington wonky term. They will self-deport. He was hysterically denounced for that by the likes of McCain and the entire Bush family and, of course, the New York Times editorial board. Even Rupert Murdoch harangued him and demanded that he change his position a few weeks before the election. But he didn't, and one important aspect of that Republicans ought to notice, who does illegal immigration, and by the way, this book is not, as you began, I like the introduction in the first part we talked about, because we so far consider, we have been talking about legal immigration and those problems, the Hmong immigrants committing child rape, the Somali immigrants going off to fight with ISIS, the Indian immigrants bringing slavery back to America. These are all the Tsarnaev brothers who blew up the Boston Marathon. These are all legal immigrants. So Republicans, you've got to stop saying, oh, no, we love legal immigrants. No, we have to have a total moratorium for 10 years and then start the system up again. I would think with me in charge, but short of that, we need to go back to a system that will get us the kind of immigrants we got before 1970. And again, to quote Donald Trump, I'm sure some of them are lovely people. Yeah, 20% are post-1970. They can stay. On illegal immigration, Republicans have to stop distinguishing these two. We have to build a fence and anchor babies. And really, we need a full moratorium, and I mean for everybody, just to shut down all the pro-immigration groups. There are hundreds of them. I originally thought all we should do is go in and switch things right away. No, there's no hope for a legal fix here. Most of what you would want to do to fix our legal immigration system has already been done. it's just ignored, because you have, you know, the ACLU Migrant Rights Group and La Raza, founded by the Ford Foundation, incidentally, George Soros's Open Society Foundation. There are hundreds of these organizations, most of them receiving vast taxpayer funds to just keep the stream of immigrants, of poor, needy immigrants pouring into this country. We need a little me time. We need to stop this, dust off our books, assimilate the ones already here, deport the illegals, which there are probably 30 to 50 million of, not 11 million, as you've been told for the last decade, and then start things up again.
Now, versus the apologists and the enablers, Ann brings about the facts and the reasons why you should be annoyed. And maybe the White House, instead of dictating to Israel, as Ann writes about, can learn some things regarding protecting borders from Israel. There would be a novel idea. She names the names. She helps you point the finger to the people who are the problem creators. And hopefully you can, with her guidance and her facts and her reality of the whole situation, can bring about a little encouragement for the solvers of the situations that we're facing regarding illegal immigration and the various ways that cultures are injected into ours. There's an odd thing. Assimilation is bad. Diversity is good. You'll get that twisted the right way when you read Adios America, the less plan to turn our country into a third world hellhole. On the web at DanCalder.com. And another winner, facts, truth. We'd like that. We'd like you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.